So I'll maybe just as a latching on to what you know what just happened is earlier this year Laurette became very sick, and many of you know this. But I remember there was a moment when she was in hospital, and she started bleeding and she lost a lot of blood. So she was getting four pints of blood or whatever. But there was a moment after she received the blood that I remember the doctor saying, so Laurette, when she booked in, her blood count was 6. You're supposed to be between 12 and 14, so her blood count was 6. And only after everything happened, the doctor said to us, at 5, it's cardiac arrest and a coma. And it hit me. I came that close. Like 1 point in losing my wife. And then I have to recognize God's beautiful ways. I have to recognize how He was there in that moment. You know, for me, it was I don't think we realized what we were in at that stage. And that's why that hindsight often is better, just to stand back and look back and recognize where God was in this year. Because sometimes we can get so stuck in the terrible stuff. You know, I can go on a groot moaning spree now of the 3 months of stuff that happened there and how terrible that was. And it was terrible. I can tell you honestly, I did not enjoy that. But God. And we saw God's goodness. We saw how family came around us and loved us. We saw God's provision. And my wife's still here. Amen. I'm not waking up in my bed alone, and I'm so grateful for that this morning. So just want to encourage you, maybe even if you leave, when you leave the service, is just to go sit, go think, go ponder, go look at your year. You know, sometimes things this side of heaven doesn't work out the way we plan, right? Or is it just me? Now, we have this kind of idea, everything must just run smoothly, and it should be all fine and okay, and then life happens, and then we meet God in that. And it's such a beautiful place to meet Him there. But this morning, I just want to minister to you the fact that God really loves you. And I know sometimes we doubt that, don't we? But I want you to hear God say, I love you this morning. I love you. Not the person next to you. He loves you. John 3:16, and you know it well, but I want to read the portion until verse 21. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you realize we're celebrating this moment? If you think back, 2,000 odd years ago, this is the moment where the Father decided, okay, Son, we're doing this. You're going down there. You're going to get born as a man, and you're going to walk on this. This is that moment where the love of God actually came to earth. This is that very moment. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it, you know, when we think about Christmas and so on, that this scripture became true in that moment. I know Jesus wasn't born at this time, you know, date and time. There's, you know, it's more middle of the year as far as I understand. And there's no clarity specifically what time it was. But no matter what the time, what we are thinking of this scripture right now. This is what Christmas is. This is what Jesus being born in that manger is about. It's God's love expressed to the world. And He wasn't thinking of the physical world, but He was thinking about you and me. Why? Because the world needs to be saved. And this earth, man, this earth is this earth. But you and me matter. God loves you. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, But in order that the world might be saved through him. Oh, you could just hear God's desire just being expressed so beautifully in this portion of Scripture. God's desires for the world to be saved, not to condemn it. You know, often people can think of God as the guy with a stick. But that's not the God we serve. He's the one that wants to save it. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. You know, and we celebrate this. This scripture is the reason for our season. Just want to say that again and remind us. And I'm sure you know this. God's love for this world, for you and me. But then people still have a choice. And this scripture shows it. We still have a choice to choose him or not. You know, and it's true, every time we face something difficult, we have the choice in choosing God in that situation or walking away from him. Sometimes our circumstances can allow us or forces us in a sense to walk away from God, because where is God now in this situation? And we choose our own ways. We make our own plans. And I don't know about you, but I've done that. Only later to have to go and repent and go, Lord, forgive this stupid guy who thought he's got this, and who actually doubted your faithfulness and your love and the fact that you love me in this place. And I mean, when we go through tough times, I think the biggest thing that gets challenged is does God really love me? And if he loves me, why is he not here right now? And that's why when I started with this, where I just want you to pause and think. Just allow the Holy Spirit to show you where God was in your most horrible situation this year. Because I know he was sitting right next to me in that hospital, concerned for my wife as I was. As I was praying, as we were, you know, joking and so on, he was right there. And you know what? He loved her more than he loved me. Well, I guess as much as he loves me, right there. But often when we face these things, we doubt the love of God for us. And especially when it's a lingering thing. When it's something that goes on for a while. You know, if it's a short one, it's, you know, 2-3 days, you know, it's not that bad. But if it gets to 3 months, maybe a year, maybe 5 years, maybe you've been facing something for the last 10 years, it doesn't change the fact that God loves you. Paul wrote it, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Yeah. In John 15, Jesus prays this most incredible prayer. In John 15 is probably my most favorite chapter in the Bible. It's so loaded with God's heart for you and me, for us. John 15 says this. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, so if you think of this, the moment we cut off a branch, Nicole, you've disappeared. I'll move it this way. Now I can see you too. And we know this. The moment we cut off a branch from a tree, I've got this pestering plant there. And the more I cut off, the more this thing grows. But I'm it's resilient. And one day I'm going to chop it down. I must just get some time. But I've noticed all the branches I cut off die. It's an incredible thing. And I think sometimes we go through life and we go through stuff and we go and we sever ourselves from the branch, from the stem, from the source of this life. You see, what this is an image of and what this portion of scripture actually shows us here is a picture of union. As long as I am connected to this, I will flourish. The moment I sever this, I will not bear the fruit that I need to do. As long as I stay here, I get everything that I need. This branch, this tree will bring all the nourishment, the strength, the resilience that I need to go through this life. It is designed in such a way that I will live. The branch will live as long as it's connected to the vine. I wanted to bring a vine, but now I've got this olive tree, which is also good. But as long as you stay connected to the vine, Jesus is saying, you will bear much fruit. You will have everything that you need. You know, and it's true, we speak about the tough times, but the good times do that as well. Things go well, you know, it's not much on the horizon, it's pleasant, all is good. And we fail to work at our union, our intimacy. We fail to draw everything that we need from Jesus Christ. And it's not like He's left. It's like we live. And when I stay connected to Him, the result is fruitfulness. In John 17, Jesus takes us a bit further. Verse 20 to 23 says, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's you and me. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. Just hear this, what Jesus is saying, the intertwinedness, the part, being part of one another. Hear what Jesus is praying here for you and Him, but also what He's praying for us. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Come on. I mean, this is... If you ever doubt God's love, go read the prayer that Jesus prayed for you and me. You know, I want to say, even if you doubt God's love in a community of believers where God is putting you, go read the scripture. Jesus is praying here that we will experience the same union with Him as He did. The same union He had with His Father, the closeness, the intertwinedness, the fact that He heard His Father's voice, that He knew what His Father wanted. He's praying that we will experience that exact same thing. That's Jesus' prayer for you. Not that you will be on your own and trying to figure out life, but that union will be so deep that you will know, that you know, that you know what His will is. Complete union, total oneness with Him. Nothing else. That's not. He doesn't desire for you to be a little bit away from this branch. 1 millimeter makes a difference here. between life and death. If I just put 1 millimeter between this branch and the stem, it's dead. And Jesus is praying, I want you to be in me, close to me, with me. I want to be able to give you everything that you need so that you can succeed and prosper and be blessed in this life. Your soul was made for union with God. And the devil wants you not to believe that. Because often we think, why can God love me? Because all we see when we look at ourselves often is our mistakes. What we didn't do. We're supposed to do, but we didn't do it. I mean, I know it's not all of you, but I certainly have had moments like that. Where I'm thinking, sure. It's not just faith in God. Not merely obedience to God, but union. A closeness. An intertwinedness like never before. That is Jesus's. You know, when God says, I love you, that's what he's seeing. I want you to quickly put your hands together like this. All right? Now, that is an expression of intimacy. But if you fold your fingers all the way over, nah, that is an expression of union. There's an intertwinedness. So when you go and pray, you can pray like that, but maybe you want that. You want to be intimate with God, in union with God, where you and God become one. I think it's a concept that we fail to recognize. That I, a week or so ago, I realized that in my Christian walk, I have, you know, my relationship with God, I know that I'm safe, that I'm walking with Him, that He loves me, and so on. But I fail to recognize that we are one. This is what Jesus, you know, this branch is not something else. It is one with this tree. It is part of this tree. And the moment it's severed, it's dead. And this is what Jesus is praying for, that we will be one with Him. That we will be in complete union with Him. That when you see me, you see Jesus. When you see Jesus, you see me, because we are one. And I think I never in my mind thought of it that way. I kind of had this idea of it's me and God's there. But this is what this image of the vine does. It shows us the union that we are supposed to have with God. In actual fact, the truth of who we truly are. We are not separate from God. When you come to God, you are one with Him. It's something that we need to get our minds around, because otherwise we will always be opposed to God. Is it not true? If God is there and I'm here, then it's always this gap, which is not biblical. I've been grafted in the vine. I'm in the vine. I'm part of the vine. What is in Him is keeping me alive. It's making me fruitful. It's not my works, my attitude, my plans, my thoughts, or anything that's making me successful. It's the fact that I'm in the vine and His sustenance is giving me the fruit that I need. And the moment I look at this, that God is there and I'm here, then it's difficult to see that, isn't it? At least for me. This is what Jesus prayed for. He says they remain in me. Is that next slide? Remain in me and I will remain in you. Do you see that? Can you believe this? That He says, be in me and I will be in you. Sorry, but this blows my mind. My little brain goes, what does this look like? But spiritually, this is the truth of what is happening here. He says, those who remain in the inn and I in them. Be one of the those. Be one of the those that remain in Him, that are not severed from Him, that are not trying to figure it out on their own. I thank God for my brain, but sometimes I think I would like a strip switch. So I could switch it off and just hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, because sometimes the brain interferes. But we've all got a brain. And we need to be sanctified. We need to give our brain sometimes to Jesus and say, Lord, can you just sort out this brain? It's thinking too much. Can I just hear you? What you are saying to me. In verse 21, Jesus said, may they be in us. May they be in us. Complete union with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Maybe this is just a revelation to me. If I look at your faces, then I'm wondering if you are getting this. But this changes things for me, realizing how deeply I'm actually connected with God. There is no separation. There's nothing between me and Him. I am part of the vine. I am connected. I am with Him. What does your image of your relationship with God look like for you? Is it you here trying to figure life out and God's out there? Or do you see this as a union, as an intimacy, as a closeness, as a walking with Him? Because that's how He sees it. Are you separate from God or are you one with God? And I tell you, there's things in this life that want to erode your relationship with Him. Wants to erode my relationship with Him, my union with Him. It wants to get between it. And we often have said this, that the devil will use the smallest little thing to put a wedge between you and God. Maybe this morning is just the way that you see your relationship with God, that He's far. And this morning I want you to hear that God says, I love you. The frantic pace of this life, all the disappointments you faced, the heartaches, they all erode that union with God. And this is the very reason why you and me need to treasure our time with Him. That is why I have a quiet time. That is why I read the Bible. That is why I pray. Because it's union with God. It's time with Him. You know, we can make time for so many things, but isn't it often true that when life gets hectic, the first thing that goes is your quiet time? And shouldn't it be the other way around, that your time with God should be so precious, because it's the very thing that will take you through your day? That will energize you and help you and grow you and give you all the resilience and the sustenance that you need to face whatever you're going to get that deadline done. I've told the testimony before. When I used to be a plumber, well, I'm still a plumber, but when I still worked in that arena, I remember one specific time that I was busy working, and we were there for about 3 hours, and I can't figure this stupid problem out. I'm just like, what? Then you try something and it doesn't work, and you try something else, and I'm so frustrated. And in my frustration, I said, Lord, please show me what's wrong with this thing. And 30 minutes later, I walked out of that house. And later I thought, let's not make that mistake again. Okay, obviously I've made more money. I did have a business, you know. It wasn't about making money. It's not why it took so long, but I just couldn't figure out this problem. So next time, just pray in the beginning. The client will phone you back because he paid less. So in any case, it was a win-win for everybody. But that union with God is not limited to this time on a Sunday, or maybe a small group on a Wednesday, or a quick one somewhere. But it's union. It's union. Do you get this? This is union. There's no separation. This is who I am. I am in Christ and He is in me. This is what He prayed for. For me and you to walk in a special relationship with Him. That is why He died for you. That is why you are saved. And that is what we preach. is that yes, you are separate from God. And maybe you did choose the darkness, but God loves you enough that He sent His Son to save you. He wants union with you. He wants communion with you. He wants to be close to you. He wants to walk with you. He's got this incredible desire just to be with you. Has there been stuff that's been eroding your relationship with God over the last time? And even as we reflected earlier in the worship about this year, what has been eroding your relationship with God? What has brought you maybe to a point of breakdown where you want to actually go, this is not worth living? Because it can get that tough, isn't it? I remember times in my business that it was so tough that it was not cool. See, God wants to give life to you through that union, every part of your humanness and all that you are. He knows exactly who you are and what you're going through, and He's got all the answers. He's got everything that you need to face whatever you are facing now. Just as this branch receives life from that stem, He wants to give to you. But Jesus takes it further in that in chapter 17 of John, and that He says, I pray that they all will be one, just as you and I are one. You can go down, sweetheart. There should be more there. I say that last one. I pray that they all will be one. In other words, this union is not just me and God. It's us. There's a closeness and a unity that Jesus is praying for here that only the church can walk in. That only the bride of Christ can walk in. I mean, the Bible uses the body as an analogy to describe us. That the one limb cannot just do one thing. And the ear decides, I just want to be a foot now. It can't be a foot. I would like to see that happen. But we've all got our little, but there's a unity. In this body even, this thing works because there's no fighting here. Maybe my brain gets angry with me when I cut my finger, but I mean, this is what Jesus is praying for, that we will be one. That we guard this. You know what? And we can truly be one. If you are one with Him and I am one with Him, then we can be one. I cannot make that happen. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, this is who we are. This is the truth. Jeremiah 17, 5-8 says this. I'm reading out of the NLT. I don't normally use the NLT, but it words it nicely. It says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans. That includes yourself. Who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunned shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in a barren wilderness in an uninhabited salty land. And then verse 7. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord, who are in union with God, and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. Sometimes we shift the object of our hope so quickly away from God into other things. Your bank account, you know. Certainly not the government. Where is your hope coming from this morning? They are like trees planted along the riverbank with roots that reach down deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Come on. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. I guess, where are you planted? Are you trying to figure this out in the desert somewhere? Oh, you planted next to the river. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are next to this river. Get those roots down deep into the rivers of God so that you can bear the fruit, that your leaves can be green. You know, come on. Amen. Joy is our portion, man. I mean, we are the saints of God. We are the people of God. We are not the hooners. You are not a chicken. You are supposed to be the eagle that soars. Thank you for two amens.
Amen.
At least I have two eagles. The rest of you should get there. Get rid of your chicken mentality. Stop scrapping for your stuff there in the dirt. Eating the gemors. And now my Afrikaans is coming out. What is happening here? You know, an eagle doesn't look at stuff from bottom up. It's always top down. The eagle has the bigger picture. So does my God, with whom I'm in union. My circumstances might be true, but they are not the truth. They might be real, but they are not the truth. God's word is still over that. God still rules and reigns over that. Your 2025 is also under His hand. And it doesn't matter what you're going to face. Because, you know, even if you understand this, even if we walk in it, it doesn't mean that we're not going to face trials. Because here's the truth that I've got to know. That often when I go through the stuff in life, I get to know God in a different way. Listen, I can skip this stuff, please. Can we skip all the tough time? But I've learned to know God in special ways. I've learned to get to know Him as Jehovah Jireh in probably the worst financial time of our lives. After obeying God, who said, move down to Cape Town and we get here and I can't find work. And we're praying and we're prophesying. And Lord, You said, and there's nothing. And I got to know Him there as Jehovah Jireh. And you know, even through my business, even to this day, that sustains me, knowing that He's the one that's the source. Not my bank account, not my abilities, not what I do or don't do. He is the source. He is Jehovah Jireh, not me. And I have to consistently turn back to Him and go, God, You are Jehovah. I just declare it that You are Jehovah Jireh. I know that You supply in all my needs. According to Your riches and glory, not my bank account or lack of it. Amen?
Amen.
But we must remain in Him. We must remain in Him. If you sever yourself from the presence of God, you are trying to make it on your own. That is a difficult place to be in. You are not God. Neither am I. And I cannot do this life on my own. I cannot live a severed life from God and kind of have Him on the sideline if I really need Him when the pauper hits the fan now. No, what the Scripture speaks about is this deep union with God, this oneness that you and I are part of. And maybe it's time that we get back to that, the seriousness of drawing everything that I need from this branch, instead of trying to figure it out on my own. You choose where you are planted. You choose whether you stay connected. You can sever yourself. You can choose not to believe. You can walk away. But I pray today that the other side will be true, where you will make sure that you grafted in, that you are deeply into prayer and Bible reading and fellowship and all that stuff that actually brings out the stuff that God wants in our lives. You know, we need one another more than we think. Sometimes I think our actions don't show that. That we know that we actually need one another. And then we go through stuff and then we're like, where are you? And I'm like, oh, so you're going through stuff, eh? being planted by God's river will bring His life into every part of your life, with your roots down deep. Perfect union with Him will make you prosper. This is the reality God has made us for, destined us for. And all the devil wants us to believe is that we are not that close to God. And probably even as I'm sharing this, your own brain is saying to you, how can this be true? You are challenging it, but this is the word of the Lord. This is what Jesus prayed for, is that you will be in perfect union with God. And I tell you what, Jesus being born in a manger was the greatest display of that love, that invitation for you and me. He decided to become you and me to make sure that He deals with sin so that you and me can be in union with Him as He and His Father is. God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit loves you very much. Just think of this. But He loves you so much that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He makes His home in you. Who makes a home with anybody if you don't like them? Okay, family is understood. I mean, you're family, you have to. But who makes a home with someone if you don't like them? Can we just stand? And I just want to close this for us. But this morning, and even as I've been preparing and as I've been journeying with this, there's a deep longing and an invitation from God to intimacy with Him again. Like maybe you had a time in your life where it was really, you had this intimate relationship with Him. But since life and its stuff and your circumstances and your hurts and your whatever has drawn you away from Him, and this morning God is saying, won't you come back? Maybe you are really in a good place. This is awesome. But don't relax. If you are in a good place with God, go deeper. Get those roots in. Get those, so that when the storms come that you can stand. Knowing from where your strength comes. Knowing from where your help comes. Let those roots draw water from the rivers of God. I've never seen a tree eat of its own fruit. The fruit is for others. And that's why I need to be in God, so that those around me can enjoy the fruit of God in my life. It can bless those around us. That is why we're in this community. Not some religious plan to sit in a church every Sunday. This is community. This is relationship. This is so much more, saints, than what I think we're experiencing right now. And it's up to you and me to be in the vine, to be part of the vine, to be in what Jesus Christ has called us, to experience the fullness even of what He wants for us. So that when someone walks through that door that needs Jesus, and hopefully we'll bring them too, but that they will see the love that we have for one another, know that Jesus Christ came to save them. That is God's heart for our gathering, is that when someone walks in there, they will see the love of God in such a powerful way that they will be drawn to Him. Man, and I can say this congregation definitely has a good measure of that. Amen. And I'm so grateful for that. But we need to go deeper, so that my union, and the one thing I want you to hear this morning is, yes, there's an incredible place where it's your union, your intimacy, that place with God that's so special for you. But it's not just you alone. He prayed for us to be one too. So if there's stuff in your heart, even to the us, I ask that you will sort it out. That you will trust God to bring healing to that too. You know, maybe if you've been in another church and stuff has happened there, I want you to go back. Go fix it. Doesn't mean you have to leave this church if this is where God is adding you, but just go fix that relationship. It's important. We're going to spend eternity together. That guy you don't like, that's in the other church, you're going to meet him in heaven. You're going to spend eternity with him or her. Go fix it. So let's pray. Father, this morning I thank you that you love the world so much that yet you send your son to be born in a manger, to live this incredible life, displaying to us what union with you looks like this side of heaven, showing to us that that intimacy is so possible. And I pray for us as we stand in your presence this morning, God, that what Jesus prayed, we want to pray that we will be one as you and the Father are one. Lord, that we will be entwined with you, that we will draw everything that we need from you, that Father God, we will have all the sustenance, the nutrients that we need to face the things of life, Father, but we will also face it together, not just alone. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just pour out your love on us this morning. Let your love be poured out over every heart. God, may we truly be one. May I be one with you. May we be one as you have prayed for. May we experience that union together. Father, I pray that this morning you will break every lie from the devil, every lie even from what was said possibly by themselves, Father God, so that they will come back to the place of complete unity with you, in union with you. Father, may you bless our relationship with you. May even as we go through this festive season, may our union with you spill over to those that desperately need your love. May it be poured out to this world, God. May our lives display your love for us and our love for you.